If you are drawn to the rich Czech tradition of legend and fairy tale, Marcela Sulák's new translation of one of the classics of 19th century Czech poetry is a must. Karel Jaromír Erben's collection of ballads, A Bouquet, was first published in 1853. Since then, it's been read by generations of Czech children and parents alike. David Vaughan talks to Marcela Sulák about a translation that brings out the freshness, sensitivity, and humanity of Erben's poetic world of spinning wheels, water sprites, and witches. That's in this edition of Czech Books.
Despite being one of the most important works of 19th century Czech poetry, A Bouquet remains remarkably little known outside the Czech Republic. Karel Jaromír Erben was writing at the height of the Czech national revival, and his language is rich, both inventive and at times archaic. The 13 ballads that make up the collection are steeped in Czech folk legend, but they also draw from the Grimm brothers and folk traditions across Europe. And Erben is also linked strongly with the European Romantic movement. For Marcela Sulák, translating the collection was a daunting task, but she has risen to the occasion with enthusiasm and immense craftsmanship, and it is no surprise that the translator is herself a published poet. On her recent visit to Prague from Israel, where she is currently teaching at Bar Ilan University, we met to talk about the translation.
I had been working in South Bohemia in the late 90s, teaching at a high school called Biskupské Gymnasium in České Budějovice. And I wanted to read what my students were reading, and I wanted to read some of the literature that they had grown up with. There wasn't anything available in English at the time. Originally, I was given May by Karl Henrik Mache to read, and I read that. And when I was finished, I wanted to read something else. And so I was given this book, Kytice, or Bouquet, by Erben. And I began to read it. My colleagues, my students, my friends were so excited that I was reading it that they generously helped me out. I've spent many days at their houses going over arcane words and trying to figure out what was written. The vocabulary is very difficult, so I found that I was keeping so many notes. It ended up being the basis of the translation.
And the writer Karel Jaromír Erben, this is his most famous work. It's a collection of a total of 13 ballads. What immediately comes to mind is Grimm's fairy tales, and that's no coincidence, is it?
No, not at all. Erben was an archivist and a librarian. He had access to all of the Central European fairy tales. He had access as well to Greek myths. And he collected some of the stories on the countryside as well in Bohemia. A lot of them have a common source. There are some great differences, though, between Grimm, for example, and Erben's fairy tales and folk stories. And I think what struck me when I was reading them and translating them is that the characters in Erben have an inner life. They have personal conflicts. They aren't just stock figures that have to act so that fate can occur. And so it's really interesting to me to see how they struggle personally. They make bad decisions sometimes. They often have a chance to recover or repent. And they allow us to get a glimpse into their inner lives as well.
I think before we talk any further, it would be nice to actually hear a short extract from one of these ballads. You've chosen something here for us.
Yes. This one is from The Golden Spinning Wheel. It's just the very beginning. Around the wood, a sprawling field, a lord comes riding from the wood. He rides a fine black fiery steed. How merrily his horseshoes ring. He rides alone. The steed is at the cottage. Hop! And on the cottage door, rap, rap. Open the door to me, hey, hey. Pursuing game, I've lost my way. Bring me some water. Out comes a girl like a flower. From the well she draws him water. He's never seen in all his life such beauty. She sits at her distaff, spinning, spinning flax. The lord is standing, not knowing what he wanted. He's even forgot his great thirst. He sees the slender, even thread. He can't take his eyes off her, the pretty spinner.
And here we can already see all the elements of the fairy tale, and then the plot develops. And as with Grimm, also with Erben, you don't normally have a happy ending.
No, but this one has a happy ending. I don't want to ruin the plot, but I think this one is really illustrative of the difference between Grimm and Erben. In Grimm, the reward for being a good housewife is that you marry a prince and you never have to work again. In this story, the thing that saves the heroine is her ability to spin and to create fine thread. And after she's married, she's expected to continue doing this, but she gets great pleasure from it. And obviously we see from the very beginning that the king also gets pleasure from her spinning.
And so you could say that Erben is rather more modern in his attitude, certainly towards matters of gender.
Absolutely. And women in the workplace, yes.
It must have been quite a challenge translating Erben's partly deliberately archaic Czech, also the rhyme and the rhythms, into English, and also into English that is readable and accessible for a modern reader.
It was a great challenge, but I decided to keep the rhyme and to keep the meter. Usually I kept the ballad meters. That means that you have a certain number of stresses per line, stress syllables, usually four. And I did keep the rhyme. Sometimes, though, I didn't want to twist the English sentence very much, so I wanted to keep the subject-verb order so that it sounds normal, the way we speak today in English. So what I did was I sometimes broke the line in places that Erben would not have broken it. This is called enjambment. So usually Erben's lines end with the sentence, and my lines continue on, just so as not to damage the syntax of English.
And there's a total of 13 ballads in the collection. We've just had the spinning wheel. Tell us about some of the others.
Often they are about raising children. They are about people's relationship to God and people's relationship to one another. They are often also about love and faithfulness. They're not completely romantic. Most of them are, I suppose, written in order to teach people how to behave and teach people how to behave with one another in relationships to one another, their families, and their religion.
But there are also a lot of sort of ambiguities and subtleties, aren't there? You've already pointed to that a little bit, probably more so than with the Grimm brothers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Some of them, in fact, feel a little bit sadistic, because even though they end happily, there's a little bit of torture in the middle. The difference, I think, between Grimm is that Grimm really is set on teaching lessons. And here we agonize and we suffer with the main characters because we get inside of their heads.
And so let's have another short extract from one of the ballads, and if you could tell us which one this is.
This one is from The Wedding Shirts, and in it, a girl has been orphaned and she's lost her entire family. She's waiting for her beloved to come back. He's promised her that he'll return for her, and she needs to spin and make shirts and be ready for him, and she's done that, and now suddenly he's returned. They have started to go on a journey in the middle of the night, and she doesn't know where they're going, and so he speaks to her like this. Clear, beautiful night, I've heard it said, it's the time graves opened, and the dead could be closer than you think. My dear, does that thought cause you any fear? Why should I be afraid? You're with me, and God's eye is above me. But tell me, my dear, do tell, is your father alive and well? Your dear father, and your mother, will she be as glad as I to meet her? Too many questions, doll, for me. Just come quickly. You will see. Let's get going. Time won't wait. Our journey is a long one yet. But what's that in your right hand, dear? I'm carrying some books of prayer. Throw them out. Those kind of books are heavier than piles of rocks. Throw them out and walk with ease if you want to keep up with me. He takes and tosses them to the side, then leaps with her a good 10 miles.
And how does this story develop.
Mm-hmm. So, as I said in the beginning, she's praying and she's lamenting the fact that she's alone in the world, and she's willing to give anything if she could just hear from her beloved again. And when she makes that bargain, suddenly the candles that she's praying to go out, and the picture of Mary in the Holy Family shakes, and there's a knock on the door. So her beloved has come back, and he's encouraged her to go on this remarkable night journey through the countryside. And they do travel all through the entire Czech countryside, and they finally get to his home, which actually is a cemetery. She tricks him. He wants her to leap over the cemetery wall with the wedding shirts, and she tricks him into having him leap first. She finds shelter in a mortuary. And then there's a battle between the dead and God, and she keeps begging God to save her, begging Mary, the mother of God, to save her. In the end, she is saved, but the shirts are ripped and torn and spread out all over the graves, and the people of the village comment that it's a good thing she turned to God, or else she would have been shredded and torn up as well. So it is a happy ending in that she's alive, but it's an unhappy ending in that her love is gone.
Karel Jaromír Erben, I mean, he has a huge place, doesn't he, in the Czech literary canon?
He does. He's one of the three big ones, with Božena Němcová and Karel Hynek Mácha. And he and Němcová were actually friends. I think this story itself was based on a story that she had written, and he asked to borrow it, and he revised it and turned it into poetry.
As your name lets on, you're of Czech origin. So is part of the process of translating this collection, the bouquet, in a sense a search for your own identity as someone of Czech origin?
All of my grandparents came from Moravia, so we have Moravian tales rather than the Bohemian ones. I heard Czech spoken at home. My parents learned English in school. I grew up in Texas. So I found a resonance with some of the fairy tales, also the emphasis on housework.
And Marcela, how can our listeners and people reading our website, how can they get hold of the book?
Mm-hmm. If you are in Europe, especially in Czech Republic, the book is available in most bookstores in Prague. You can order it through the website of Twisted Spoon Press, and you can also order it from Amazon.
So, best of luck, and I do hope that you reach new readers who will, I think, really discover some of the wealth of 19th century Czech poetry through this translation. And thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And before I end, I should add that Marcela Šulák's translation of A Bouquet comes with a beautifully written and informative introduction, as well as illustrations by Alain Diviš, an important Czech artist who died in 1956, almost forgotten and totally marginalised by the communist regime. Look out also for Marcela's translation of Karel Hynek Mácha's romantic epic poem May, also published by Twisted Spoon Press.